This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Lord, I thank you for this morning, for the opportunity that we have to read from your word, to be able to take from your word. And Lord, I pray that you will protect me and everybody else here, Lord God. That we will not read into your word, but Father, really take out of your word. And if there are words that are not supposed to be spoken this morning, Lord Jesus, that you will silence them. But Father, that you will also continue to speak the words that needs to be said this morning. Thank you for preparing our hearts, Holy Spirit, that we are able to receive this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So this question sort of derived from starting with the book of Philippians and reading the first part of it and understanding where did Paul come from when he wrote this letter. So he was caught up in Caesarea, being imprisoned, and he was longing to go to the Philippians, longing to see them, longing to spend time with them in fellowship. And that's the reason why I asked the question this morning. Because we very often misinterpret persecution in the Western world. We get it a bit wrong because we think that if your head is not chopped off or you are not beaten in a public place. Let me just stand in the front here and see if this is this much better. Better? Okay, we're going to try it. We'll move forward. See, we can't move backwards, we move forward. Good. I see it's a long weekend, long holiday, so everybody's at the back there, mapping the escape route. So persecution, in the sense of a word, is actually to die for something. Being persecuted for something you believe, being to die for the thing that you believe in. But from a Western perspective, we sort of miss that sometimes. Because we think that if you're not taken out, you're not being jailed, you're not being beaten with a rope or a whip, then you're not persecuted. But the Western world's persecution comes in a form of words. And us being silent of not speaking into people's lives, at our workplace, at our families, because we have this thing called human rights. Okay? And when we talk about evangelism or evangelizing people in the workplace, our families, a lot of people roll their eyes. Because it's a difficult topic to speak about. And the reason being is, we don't always understand it. Because the moment that we think evangelism, we think, oh, that person needs to hear about Jesus Christ. And you go into the workplace, and that's just all you speak about. Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. And we forget that evangelism is sometimes more often a way of life. It's the way that we live with family, with friends, with people around us that draws them into the love of Christ and the love that Christ has for us. So evangelism starts by not Bible bashing people with a word, but praying for them and allowing them to open up their hearts through the way that you live and persevere in what you go through. Sometimes very difficult to do, but that's also where our persecution comes in. Because now we are silenced, because we have this fear of man instead of the fear of God. And really having faith in God to trust Him to get us to that place of saying, Lord, you can make a difference in this or that person's life. Philippians 1 We're going to read from that. And if you have your Bibles, I deliberately did not put it on the screen this morning so that I can see who's got their Bibles or Bible apps, or read from your phone, Butti. The phone can do anything now. Your watch. Huh? Okay, so we're going to read the first chapter of Philippians 1. And it starts off by saying, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Verse 12, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. And the latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambitions, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Verse 19, yes, I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Verse 21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Verse 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. That is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for the sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Quite a long letter, but such an encouraging one. And I want to point it down to seven points which I believe is sort of the guideline in the first chapter that helps us discover what it is to walk worthy in the gospel of Christ Jesus. And if you just look at the start of the letter, you can immediately identify the first one. And that is where Paul says that him and Timothy are servants of Christ Jesus. So the first part or the first point of walking worthy of the gospel is to become servants, to be a servant in Christ for others. And then we see the tone of the letter really speaks about the joy and the thankfulness. Thinking of where Paul is in his life at the moment, he's in prison, he still sends out letters of joy, of thanksgiving, because he doesn't rejoice in what he's going through, but he rejoices in what he's going through, but he doesn't rejoice in that imprisonment, but he rejoices in what it causes other people to see, the boldness that they walk with. So Paul starts with thanksgiving and prayer to the Philippians, expressing his joy through the partnership that they have. And here's the second point. To walk worthy of the gospel is being in partnership through Christ with one another. Through Christ with one another. Verse 5, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And a partnership is not a competition. No, the only competition which I feel is worthy in church is for us to strive to be the best we can for the glory of God. But that's not a competition to slander one another, to discriminate one another, or to be nasty with one another. But really to walk in that place of saying, Lord, we are in partnership. We are in unity. We are like-minded. The third point, Paul speaks about the faith and the completion of the work that Christ has started. So walking worthy in our workplace and our families, with our families, with our friends, wherever we go, it requires us to have faith, knowing that Christ will bring the completion of the work that he started in us and through us. And it's a continuous work and not something that's just click of the finger. You know? We so often want faith to be like Google. Google, what is the weather going to be like today? Google says it's going to be hot and sunny. Faith is understanding also that God will finish what he started with us. Paul made the gospel a heart thing. The Hebrew word for heart is leb, and leb can be found throughout the Old and the New Testament many times. Just read Psalm 119. And you will discover how many times David speaks about the heart. And how God needs to come to his heart and how he will testify from the heart. And Paul also made the gospel of Jesus Christ his heart thing. And as I said in a previous sermon, finding the heart to pray, I used an illustration of the heart is something that we very often, it's the most difficult organ in the body to convince. It's not like an emotion where you go through certain things and it lifts your emotion and it brings you down. But the heart is not easily convinced. So when we make prayer, when we make Christ, when we make the gospel a heart thing, it means it is birthed from within. It means that whatever as the heart grows, it will continue to grow downward to find the rivers of life. All right? The root of what we think about, what we yearn for, what we long for, will continue to grow to the part where it is fed with water. And if you think of a normal tree in life, as soon as a seed is planted, the root starts to grow first, because that's the source of life. Up here, it can be a bright show. It can be a very beautiful plant. But if the root is not fed with the living water, it's going to die. And do not be fooled by how big a plant sometimes is. If you look at a maize field, it is quite easy to take the maize and just pluck it out, because its root system is very shallow. So it's easy to push it over. It's easy to confuse it. But if we make it a hard thing, if we make it a choice to have Christ in our hearts, the root grows from there into the deeper parts of the living Word. So the fourth point this morning is, walking worthy requires a choice for Christ, no matter the circumstances. It requires a choice for Christ, no matter the circumstances. Paul encourages the Philippians with contentment in Christ by saying, and this is what you've got to say with me, we need to declare that this morning: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Okay, let's all say it together. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1, verse 21. If you've missed everything else this morning, remember that part. Such encouraging words, what Paul uses here, to illustrate that no matter what happens to him, no matter the circumstances in his life, his contentment is absolutely in the person of Christ. He knows who Christ is, because he knows that if he dies today, he's going to go to heaven. And if he lives today, through his faith, other people are going to come to Christ. Walking worthy is being content in the person who Christ Jesus is. What then does our manner of life look like to others? See, we call ourselves Christians, followers, believers. But too often it's just what the outside, or what people see from the outside. It's that little label we put on in Seeker, but this is it. We are Christians. So Christians, being a Christian will get us good favor with certain institutions, will get us favor with certain people, will get people to trust us more easily. But you know what? They see the hypocrites. They see us as slanderers, judgmental people, full of pride, selfishness, because we only think of ourselves. We so often just think of ourselves. Condemning that if you are not in Christ, you will go to hell. It's the truth. But from what point in our lives do we say it? And Paul ends this first chapter from verse 27. He ends it with such encouraging words: to walk and live in a manner whereby others can identify with the unity that they as brothers have in Christ. And he says, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. These are not my words. These are the words that Paul uses to encourage the Philippians. That he uses where other people, and illustrates it, that how other people look at them. That their manner of life will be worthy of a group of people that's like-minded and striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. So that all who believe will be, all of those who don't believe will experience the unity of Christ. Christ the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. I read such a beautiful illustration the other day that when God the Father, God the Son, and God and the Holy Spirit has got such a beautiful harmony with one another, such a precious joy and peace and love, abundant love for one another. And why did God create us? Not to make us little robots on earth and play a little game, what's it called, a Game of Thrones or something like that. But he made us to share the unity that they have with us. And as Derek and Beryl rightly said last week, you know, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's the tri-unity of God. And us, as humans, we have a tri-unity of man, which is also body, soul, and spirit. And where do these come together? It's when we accept Christ and we allow the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us for our two spirits to connect. And that can only connect when we know our salvation in Christ Jesus. Because we know we are saved. And we've got one line directly to God. Our primary allegiance is with Christ and not our worldly citizenship. Because the way we live is seen by others of what our citizenship looks like. And we are privileged enough to, in this country, to have many. We are, in a sense, a multinational or multi-country of many, many different nationalities. But you can identify them in the way they walk and the way they live. But what is your identity? What does your passport look like? What does your citizenship look like? Because the moment that we accept Christ as Savior, we sign off on the passport of the world. And we become kingdom citizens. And are we walking worthy of that? Because that is our identity. That is the way we are now reprogrammed through Christ. So the sixth point is walking worthy is living your salvation in Christ. The passport of life. The passport into the kingdom of heaven. That you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And then he goes on in verse 28 and says, not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. Verse 16 or verse 15 says, Paul, some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry. When he speaks about this, it's basically just a different platform. Because the opponents that Paul speaks about here is those that really wants to persecute us, wants to slander us, wants to silence us for the way we live and the way we live the gospel. But he says this is a clear sign to them of their destruction. Showing again that the way we live our lives will basically just convict through the Holy Spirit those around you of the destruction path of their life if they do not have Christ in them. We need to understand that trouble is around every single corner. Let me ask you this. Who's gone through this whole week without any form of suffering? Nothing's been a bad day at work. You've had no issues. Everything this whole week was absolutely pinpoint in place. Hands up. Who can relate to that? Okay. Just a clear illustration that trouble hides around every single corner. As long as the enemy is on this earth, me and you, in a sense, will never live in peace, except if we take in the peace that Christ grants us. And if we look at verse 29, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. Paul never backed down. He loved a good fight. But he didn't fight with his fists. He fought with the Word of God. And this morning I realized, you know, we so often make the Word, or we forget what the Word of God is. And we use our own weapons of destruction instead of just using the Word of God, which is a double-edged sword that pierces through bone and marrow. Taking it up every single morning in our heart, in our hands, with the shield of faith, going forward step by step, advancing the gospel. But dressing up, having the armor of God, knowing that we're going to face this persecution or this attack from the enemy every single day is not a dooming thing. It's not something that we need to worry about now. Because worry instills fear. Now we are scared because we worry about what that person is going to say about what happened in my life. Fear comes to mind. Fear overshadows me. And that's the fear of man and not the fear of God. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter walked out and boldly he said, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. Amen. What are we afraid of? Yes. Paul remains the great example of one who walks with boldness and without fear, but only the fear of the Lord. And the last point is walking worthy, is suffering with joy for the faith we have in Christ. If we just quickly recap, walking worthy is being a servant of and in Christ. is being in partnership with one another in the body of Christ. It requires us to walk in faith. Walking worthy requires a choice for Christ, no matter the circumstances. Allowing the seed of the word to grow in your heart, to become a fruitful tree. Walking worthy is being content in the person who Christ is. Walking worthy is living your salvation in Christ. And the last one, walking worthy is suffering with joy for the faith we have in Christ. It sounds like a very nice little storybook. It's so easy. But you see, that's why we have the Holy Spirit. To bring to remembrance the things that Jesus Christ has taught us. To bring to remembrance the things we read in the Word of God. And Paul continues, and that's why this is such an amazing letter, where he continues in Philippians 3, verse 12, and he says, "Not that I am perfect, but I press on to make it my own, just as Christ Jesus made me his own." If the Word of God is birthed from within your own heart, you will make the gospel your own because of Christ and what he did in your life. It's not to say that you make it your own and this is my thing now and I live out of this pride and selfish ambitions. No. You live by faith. You walk by faith. As the little children sang this whole, my son, you know, he loves going to the sitting in the mornings, and then you just hear, all of a sudden, you hear the singing. And then he starts off, he says, "My God is so big and so strong and so mighty." And I just realized, you know, that's such faith. Because every word that he sings, he declares it. He declares it. "My God is so big and so strong and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." Yes. Walking worthy in the gospel is not fearing what people will think of you, but it's fearing being outside of the presence of God. And this is but just the first part of Paul's four letters of encouragement to the Philippians. Saying, you know what? I can see that you are doing good. But just continue with what you are busy with. Because the reward is so great. And God will bring into completion the work that he started. Amen. God will bring into completion the work that he started. Who are we to doubt that? If we look around us and we see the faithfulness of God in every situation and everything that we do. God looks at us and he smiles upon us and he's like, "Wow." And then through his Spirit, he gives us this excitement and this joy to walk worthy of the gospel. Adrian, you can come up so long. I want us to take a minute or two this morning, and if we look through the whole list of walking worthy of the gospel, the way Paul writes it out, I just want us to take a minute and reevaluate the areas. And I know it's a lot. It's 7 points. You're going to walk out here this morning and you're going to think, "Oh goodness, he spoke a lot." But I want you to take home Philippians 1 and read it again. Highlight the words that gives the joy, that gives the excitement. Highlights the word that stands out to you, the way you need to focus on in your life a bit more. We call ourselves Christian. because some of us were born that way. Some of us made a decision for Christ. Or some of us say we're a Christian because somebody said a couple of words in front of me and I repeated it. But if faith and Christ and the gospel is not a hard thing for you, if we do not pray together about it, if we do not allow God to complete the work that He started in our lives through our relationship with Him, then it is all in vain. As we so often read, the sufficiency of the gospel is in the Word. We know that the gospel is sufficient for us. We know that Christ Jesus is sufficient for us. But the question remains, how do we live it out there that other people will be drawn into it? That other people will see the way that we walk worthy in the gospel of Christ. Walk worthy that we've made Christ our own. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. If we could just quickly turn off the front lights. And let's just take a minute and close our eyes. And just allow God to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Don't think about lunch. Don't think about the coffee. But think about, are you walking as a servant for others? In the name of Jesus. Can other people see the partnership you have with your community, the body of Christ? Are they drawn to that because of the like-mindedness? Do you demonstrate that you walk in faith every single day? Do you testify about that? Have you made the choice for Christ, no matter the circumstances? And do people see that in your lives? Are you truly content with the person that Christ is? And if that is an area that you need to pray into, just ask God there where you are. Are you living your salvation, knowing that you are free from bondage? When the Son sets you free, you are truly free. John 8 verse 36. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from Him. Verse 36 says, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Do we live our salvation in Christ Jesus? And are we suffering with joy for the faith we have in Christ? Thinking of the words that is spoken in our offices, with our family, just allow God to minister in those areas. And if there's anyone that feels this morning that you are, that you struggle in any of these areas, I want to give you an opportunity to come to the front. Firstly, to say, Lord, I have not made you my own. But this morning I want to choose you as my personal Savior. If you've never done that in your life, if you've never confessed the words with your mouth and you believe with a heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you have an opportunity this morning to do that. And then secondly, I want to ask that those people in the areas that you struggle, this is what faith is about. the partnership we have together. And in partnership, we talk to each other, but we speak with God. So let us agree together on those areas. Let us stand together and say, Lord, we trust that you will give the increase in your areas where I need to decrease, so that you can be glorified. If there's an area in your life which we identify through Paul's letter this morning, and we want to pray with you. Holy Spirit, I pray this morning that you will continue to evaluate the way we live our lives. Lord, as Paul rightly says, to live in a manner worthy of the gospel. Father, I just thank you that through your Spirit, you are the one that brings to remembrance every single word you said. I want to pray against the fear of man this morning. Lord, that we will walk out boldly, full of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I will pray, and I pray that you will continue to convict us throughout this week, in every area where we minister, where we walk, where we strive, Lord God, that we do not hold back, but that we continue to live and walk by faith.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.